May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 692. If Solomon for wisdom prayed, the Lord before had made him wise, else he another choice had made and asked for what the worldlings prize. 692.
Thank you. We will read from God's holy word, from the second book of Kings and chapter 5. The second book of Kings and chapter 5. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honourable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valour, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man descend unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing, the Lord, pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, When I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, Go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, Behold, my master hath spared Naaman this Syrian, in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman. When Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him, and said, Is all well? And he said, All is well. My master hath sent me, saying, Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garment. And Naaman said, Be content, take 2 talents. And he urged him, and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags, and with 2 changes of garments, and laid them upon 2 of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house. And he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, Whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, Thy servant went nowhither. And he said unto him, Went not mine heart with thee, when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money, to receive garments, and olive yards, and vineyards, and sheep, and oxen, and men servants, and maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee, and unto thy seed for ever. And he went out from his presence, a leper as white as snow. May the Lord now help us in prayer. O Lord, almighty and most gracious God, we do pray now for thy gracious help to be upon us, to help us as we come before thee and as we come in thy presence. For, O Lord, thy word does say, Where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And, O Lord, that thou art in the midst by the Spirit, as we are gathered together in thy name, in the place set apart for the worship of thy holy name. O Lord, do grant us reverence, do grant us that solemnity of mind, yet that joy and peace in believing, looking unto Jesus. O Lord, we do thank thee for such great, precious promises, that thou who art the good shepherd, that thou art not an absent shepherd. Thou dost come into the midst of thy sheep, midst of thy people. Thou dost come and eat and drink with sinners, yet thou art so pure, perfect, holy, utterly separate from sin, yet thou art the compassionate, merciful high priest. O Lord, we indeed are sinners, unworthy, wretched. In so many ways we do offend. In so many ways we do not do those things we ought to do. We think those things we shouldn't think. We say those things we shouldn't say. Those things that should be said we don't say. O Lord, have mercy upon us. And O Lord, do grant that we may be washed in thy precious blood, clothed in thy glorious righteousness, O Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest be pleased to help us, to go before us in all things and in the services of this day, this thy day, that we may be in the Spirit on thy day, like the Apostle John was on the Isle of Patmos, who was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. and thou didst appear unto him, and show forth thy glory, thy majesty, thy holiness, thy righteousness, yet thy mercy, thy compassion, thy salvation. And, O Lord, thou didst show forth the new Jerusalem. O Lord, by faith may we see Jesus. O Lord, by faith that we may see there is a place reserved up for those who are his, who are thine, O Lord Jesus Christ, those who do seek. Thy precious promise, those that seek shall find. What an encouragement it is to come unto thee. And, O Lord, thou art so gracious to answer prayer, so gracious to grant help to those in much need, so gracious to have mercy, so gracious to guide and direct us, to reprove us, to chasten us. O Lord, have mercy upon us then, and help us. Help us in this service. Do grant me that help in speaking that which is right from thy holy word. And, O Lord, do grant thy blessing upon the friends here. Do, O Lord, be with them to help them, especially any who may be in sickness or in sorrow or in trouble, in distress, that thou wouldst be with them to help them. O Lord, especially any that are burdened concerning their soul, burdened concerning their sins, O Lord, to by thy Spirit lead unto Christ, the Saviour, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst set that glorious gospel liberty, such that our bow down. And, O Lord, if there be those who have no concern, might have an outward show of religion, but no real concern, O Lord, do deliver them from that utter darkness, that they might be brought to see a holy God, to see how they've offended against thee, but yet that thou art merciful, and yet to flee unto Jesus Christ the Saviour. O Lord, we do pray for our friends, the deacons here. Do help them, do strengthen them, do uphold them, we do pray. And, O Lord, for the church and congregation, we do pray for thy blessing to rest upon them. And, O Lord, that thou wouldst be with the young people and children and little ones, and any that are unable to come out to thy house. O Lord, do be with the young people and the children. So, O Lord, preserve them in this evil day, to direct them in the path that they should go, that is right in thy sight, to help them. O Lord, we do pray, be with them. And, O Lord, that any that are in older years, do grant that strengthening, that help, to know that underneath are the everlasting arms. O Lord, do deliver, we pray, the tempted. And, O Lord, that we may look unto thee, O Lord Jesus Christ, who didst stand in that hour of temptation and didst put the devil to flight. And, O Lord, may we look unto thee. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And, O Lord, we would pray that there might be that increase granted. O Lord, it is a great concern concerning our nation, and the depravity, the godlessness, the opposition to thy name. And, O Lord, do uphold those that are persecuted. Do uphold and strengthen those that are harassed. O Lord, we see those in high places, in authority, despising, ridiculing, hating thy name. But, O Lord, that thou art yet upon the throne, there is a higher authority than they. And, O Lord, may we esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt. that we may look by faith to that glorious treasure and salvation in Thee, O Lord Jesus. O Lord, we do pray that Thou wouldst grant a true repentance in the land, a true outpouring of the Spirit, a true turning again unto Thee. Do grant that wisdom unto those in authority, to our Prime Minister and government at this critical time in the nation. That wisdom and grace to be given unto our Queen and to Parliament. But, O Lord, we do pray that there may be a turning again unto Thee. There may be those brought in by the working of Thy Spirit in the hearts and lives of many. Even in this neighbourhood, there may be those brought in to hear the everlasting gospel and to truly, by faith, believe to the saving of their souls. O Lord, do grant a raising up of more ministers. O Thou who art the Lord of the harvest, do send forth more labourers into the harvest, we pray. And O Lord, that Thou be pleased to raise up pastors over the churches. O Lord, even here, that Thou mightest be pleased by Thy gracious hand to grant a pastor over this church. And O Lord, we do pray that Thou wouldst grant Thine appearing in so many ways, that Thou wouldst appear for Thy servants that preach. Some in old age, do strengthen them. Some in the midst of sorrow and distress, do uphold them, encourage them. Do, O Lord, bless their labours, we pray. And, O Lord, now as we come to Thy word, grant us ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And grant us Thy blessing, we pray. And, O Lord, we would thank Thee for Thy word, thank Thee for Thy gracious word before us. And do help us then, we ask in Thy name, O Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 812. Whene'er I make some sudden stop, for many such I make, and cannot see the cloud cleared up, nor know which path to take, I to my Saviour speed my way, to tell my dubious state, then listen what the Lord will say, and hope to follow that. 812.
Thank you.
May the Lord help us in turning to his holy word. And I'll particularly direct you to 2 Kings chapter 5 and verses 13 and 14. 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. And his servants came near and spake unto him, that is Naaman the Syrian, and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. In this part of Holy Scripture, we read of Naaman the Syrian, a great man, a leader in his nation, but who was a leper. That disease for which at that time there was no natural cure, no treatment could be given by man. That which would steadily, slowly and surely lead to death. Where it would lead to that disfigurement, and indeed lead to that separation from society, lest the infection should spread to others. With leprosy, not only a matter of great suffering, but speaks forth, as we read through Scripture, a type of that great defilement on account of sin. Leprosy, as described in Holy Scripture, the marks of leprosy was that it was not just skin deep, not just on the surface, but that which was deep. And so sin which is transgression of God's law, it's deep. Of the heart. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, disobeyed God's holy commands. Instead of serving God, serve the devil. Sin, how deep it, as it were, that disease within the heart. How it spreads throughout everything. How indeed sin is infectious. How terrible. If we were to see somebody whose body was consumed by a terrible leprosy or disease, how we should be shocked. More so if it was our own body. But how we need the Spirit to open our eyes to see the leprosy of sin, that which is not seen with the natural eye, but that which God the Holy Spirit, reproves of sin and reveals that there is that judgment to come. But Naaman, he was a leper. All those great attainments in his nation, in his life, were to be brought to nothing, come to nothing. How many there are in this nation who, whether they've made great attainments or whether they aspire to them, but one thing is for sure, that we must come before the judgment seat of Christ. We must all come before Almighty God. We must all come before the seat of Him who is the King of kings and Lord of lords, to give an account of that which we have done in the body. How can we stand before a pure, a holy, almighty God? Utterly ruined, utterly leprous with sin, utterly defiled. So we shall have cause, if the Lord will, to speak of some of the other characters here spoken of in this account, a true account. We have Naaman, the little maid. We have Elisha. We have Gehazi. But yet there is one greater that is spoken of here, not explicitly, but through the types. That is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, the Messiah. Indeed, it is through He who is truly God, Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, that this miraculous power of healing was done through Almighty God. When we come to this, we've spoken of the malady, that sickness, leprosy, how it needed a divine healing, a divine cure, and so it is with sin. Who could forgive sin but God only? The Pharisees charged the Lord Jesus Christ with that in their hearts, when they murmured one to another, when he spake unto that man who was sick of the palsy, "Thy sins are all forgiven thee." And they said, "Who can forgive sin but God only?" Thinking that he blasphemed. Who is this? Joseph, the carpenter's son? Jesus of Nazareth? But the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated his divinity and that authority to forgive sin by saying unto that man, "Take up thy bed and walk," and he did. Likewise, we see of his divine power, where we have the account of the lepers coming unto him. There was that man that was full of leprosy. And that man, he came unto Jesus and said, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And the Lord said, "I will." He stretched out his hand and touched him. We see there was no need of sprinkling of water or washing in Jordan, for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the fulfillment of all these types, he was there himself. He put forth his own hand and touched that leper. He spake forth the word himself, and the man was made perfectly whole. So as we come to this passage of God's holy word, we should see and hear the divine power, the power of the eternal Son of God shown forth in that figure, the washing in Jordan, the washing seven times. It all points the power of God in Christ Jesus. And Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, today and forever. It's the same Jesus. The same Jesus who the leper who was full of leprosy came to. The same Jesus today reigns in heaven above. And by the Spirit is in the midst of his people. So Naaman, the Syrian, a great man, mighty man in valour, but he was a leper. This was one enemy that he couldn't slay. And that'll come to all of us, unless we be alive at the Lord's second coming. But there is one, as it were, enemy that we'll never slay of ourselves, and that is death. It was said in ancient history concerning Alexander the Great, who had conquered most of the known world in his day, conquered the mighty empire of the Medes and the Persians, conquered even as far as India, down as far as Ethiopia. Nobody could stand before him and his mighty armies. But then he died. In his prime, died of some sickness. He had no strength there. Despite being one of the greatest generals of all time, yet against that enemy, powerless. But there was this testimony of the little maid of Israel. This little girl who had been taken captive. We can but imagine what sufferings that might have entailed, what sorrows that might have entailed. But yet, when she heard of her master's sickness, what a kind spirit she showed forth. Would God, my Lord, with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy, that childlike faith that there is a God in Israel. There is the prophet Elisha, that one anointed of God to set forth the truth, and who had done many mighty works in the power of God. And to give forth that simple childlike witness. He would recover him of his leprosy. And they went to the king of Syria, and the king of Syria sent to the king of Israel. And they sent, 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 charges of raiment. But none of those things could pay for that healing from the leprosy. As we read in the account, Elisha, the man of God, would not accept, as it were, a penny of those riches that Naaman had brought. We cannot buy salvation. We cannot buy. We cannot buy it with the money of this world. Or indeed, that true redemption, that washing, is in the blood of Christ, who hath paid the price. Indeed, to think that we can pay for salvation with the filthy lucre of this world, indeed, a trampling underfoot of the blood of Christ. Indeed, Elisha, the prophet of God, must accept no money for such a thing. But it's a free grace, free and sovereign mercy. The Lord Jesus Christ, he has paid the price with his precious blood. When he went to the cross and bore that punishment, that suffering, on account of sin, not his own, but those of the elect of God, the church. Every true believer out of every nation, kindred and tongue, called by God's grace. That number that no man can number but known unto God. And he bore that. He paid the price. Far greater than 10,000 pieces of gold and 10 talents of silver. 10 changes of raiment. The riches of the blood of Christ so much greater. And that robe that he wrought without seam, his righteousness, through his obedience unto the holy law of God. How precious. How much infinitely better than the 10 changes of raiment. So when Naaman came, Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. There was no question of asking for a price. For indeed, that cleansing, it must be through As we stand now in New Testament times, we look back to that price that was paid by the Lord Jesus Christ who was once offered the Old Testament church. They looked forward by faith, beholding the types and the shadows in the law. Look forward to that time when the Messiah should come, the Lamb of God, the Paschal Lamb, whose blood should be shed for sin and for that delivery from the servitude of sin and Satan, delivered into the glorious liberty. But Elisha sent a messenger. This was a cause of offence to Naaman. Naaman expected there should have been some, as it were, grand entry by the prophet. I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Naaman was offended. He was angry. Well, let us consider the Lord Jesus Christ, how he stretched forth his hand. It was not for Elisha here to set forth his hand, but Elisha to set forth that which was according to God's word and that which set forth the blessed type that pointed to Christ who should come, the washing, 7 times. We read of in the law of God, book of Leviticus, in Leviticus chapter 14, for the cleansing of the leper. And again, these types, they all point to Christ. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. He shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times and shall pronounce him clean and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. There were those 2 birds, the one that was slain, blood shed, and that one that was let loose. It speaks forth of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, his shed blood, yet his resurrection, his ascension. We're not only just saved by the death of Christ, but moreover we are saved by his life. For he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Because I live, ye shall live also. There's that sprinkling upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times. So Elisha said, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. So that was met by the wrath of Naaman. It's not what he expected, not what he had thought. There was no grand show of the prophet Elisha. Indeed, the prophet Elisha never even came out to him. Just sent forth an unnamed messenger. Well, let us consider the application of these things ourselves. How we have to be brought to a place of humility. There are those in religion, they've always got eyes to a certain minister or some great minister or somebody that they have a great liking to. Some even go so far as to say there's only one minister, there's only one person they can hear. And despise, reject whatever those others, perhaps less able of the Lord's servants, or those that are unknown to them. But we do well to flee from all forms of idolatry, whether it's idolatry of godly ministers, even. But here this message was delivered by just a messenger. His name is not recorded. Elisha sent a messenger unto him. But that messenger brought the word of God. The word of deliverance. The word of the way that Naaman may be cleansed from his leprosy. Thus, when we come to the house of God, come before the servants of the Lord, it should be Christ that is first, Christ that is last. For it is by the word of God there is cleansing. It is through Christ who is the word. It's not the minister that will save you from your sins, even the greatest of ministers. It's not the church or the denomination that will save you. None of these things. It's Christ and Christ alone. But those faithful messengers of the Lord, they seek by God's grace so to proclaim Christ, the living word. So to proclaim the way of salvation in Christ Jesus. To point forth the living waters. To point to the precious blood that was shed. Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times. A perfect number. That number appointed in the law of God concerning the cleansing of the leper. And Naaman also said, are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the rivers, the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Well, we cannot come before the Lord and set our conditions as to how we are to be cleansed. To say those things of our own country, those things of our own life, are they not better than that which the word of God has set forth? May we be delivered from that spirit. Delivered from the spirit that says, I want all these things in my life. I'm not going to give them up for anything. Not even the word of God. I will not give up that idol. I will not give up that pathway. I will not give up that relationship that is false. I will not give up that occupation which is dishonourable before Almighty God. Or may we be delivered from that spirit. We see that in God's providence, Naaman had that gracious and right counsel of his servants. His servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Indeed, there was gracious counsel. And why was it gracious? Because they hearkened to the man of God. That which was God's word. Counsel which is not according to God's word is worse than useless. It will be our condemnation or downfall. But here, these servants, that they'd hearkened unto what the messenger had said. And they counselled their master, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Well, we see in this world what lengths people do to try and be saved, go on pilgrimages across the world. Or various religions have their pilgrimages, huge costs expended, huge efforts gone to, enrichment of places of worship, gold statues and all sorts of things that people go to. Bestowing all their lands to the building of a church building and so on to seek to gain their salvation. But the gospel, how it's spoken forth here by these servants of Naaman. How much rather then we saith to thee, wash and be clean, to hearken unto the divine message of God, to go to Jordan, to come to the waters without money or without price, to come unto Christ who is shown forth here, these types that point to Christ, to come unto Christ. We need faith, we need that opening of the eyes. Where naturally our natural heart must seek to try and earn its salvation, pay for its salvation. Indeed, it's been often rightly said in all the religions of this world, there really are only two religions. True ones, a true religion and false religion. And a characteristic of all those religions, apart from the true worship of Jesus Christ, is this, that in all these other religions, there has to be an earning of salvation by good works, by payment, money, or whatever. Indeed, so much false Christianity, we have it there. We have it with the Jehovah's Witnesses, have it with the Roman Catholics. Having to serve by good works, paying for forgiveness of sins, and so on. But the true way of salvation is free grace, and free grace alone. Of mercy for the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, that opening of eyes to see. We needn't go on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem or anywhere else in the body, or bestow huge amounts of money to build gold statues or whatever. But it's looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, looking unto the blood of Christ that was shed, the water that flowed from his riven side, the blood to atone, the water to cleanse. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Christ was crucified, pierced on account of our sins, sins of the church, and with that sorrow, that mourning over. But that looking unto Jesus, they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. And like the serpent in the wilderness, when the children of Israel had murmured against the Lord, and the Lord has sent fiery serpents to bite them, and many died and others dying. And Moses was commanded to make that serpent of brass and to raise it up upon a pole and to proclaim that the Israelites were to look, and all who looked, they lived. And so it is our Lord Jesus Christ who is the fulfillment of that type. But that looking by faith unto Jesus, we look by faith in repentance, in sorrow of our sins, but looking in hope. Like the one who came to the temple, the publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner. There was that sorrow over his sins, was that hope that brought him there to the temple. And he went to his house justified. As the poet said, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to his cross I cling. Not in any superstitious way, as if we should have crosses and crucifixes that people hold on to. I met somebody who held out the silver crucifix they got and said, oh, I feel the power from this, feel it too. And I shudder at such things. It's not a sensual religion. That's devilish, according to God's word. But we need one that is spiritual, that looks unto to Jesus, not with the senses, not having crosses and crucifixes and silver statues that we bow down to and worship and feel some majesty and awe in the place, no. But a sense of the presence of Almighty God, and a sense, understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour, his love, his mercy, how he received sinners, mercifully, graciously, as a compassionate high priest. How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean, to go to the waters. Well, we read elsewhere in God's word concerning this washing. We read it in Ephesians, and when the apostle is speaking concerning marriage. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. You see here that washing in Jordan, seven times. That water, it showed forth the love of God in Christ Jesus, his love. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Washing by the word of life, the word of truth. One thing's for certain, we shall not gain any cleansing outside of Christ, the word. And nor shall we gain cleansing by thinking we follow Jesus, but rebelling against God's holy word, despising his word. There's a glorious union between the written and the incarnate word. It's the word of life. We also read in Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, concerning the Corinthian church and the impurities that they were in, their lives. What a sorry list it was. Things that had taken place in those lives, and indeed some of the things were still taking place in the congregation, in the church there. And the apostle had to lovingly yet firmly reprove them. But he says here, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Yes, they were. They were, all of these. There were those in that church that had been fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, in all manner of impurity. Thieving, covetous, drunkards, extortioners. But he says, such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. That means to be set apart. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. There was a washing, cleansing. That leprosy of sin that had been in those Corinthians, all those vile deeds and actions and lives, they're washed. As we see with Naaman, there was a change. He couldn't go on and in that idolatrous worship when he returned. He was came back a different man. So it was the Corinthians, and indeed that was a matter of great concern to the Apostle Paul in his writing to them, that those things that were defiling the church that must be put out. But to return here to this chapter in 2 Kings chapter 5. Here Naaman, he hearkened in humility. What a precious grace that is, humility. And that grace of hearkening, listening. The word of God that was brought by an unnamed messenger of Elisha, and then his own servants who conveyed it again lovingly to Naaman, a great man. But he had that grace of hearkening, humility. Childlike spirit. It was God's grace that he should, we might say, as it were, put aside that pride and admit before his servants that he'd been wrong. But he's given that grace of humility. There was grace of repentance even. Turning from that way of pride in his own Damascus, his own nation, his own rivers of Damascus, seeking to have something dramatic in religion before him. And Elisha himself, the great prophet, to come out and strike with his hand. And there was a humbling now before the word of God. Humble thyself under the mighty hand of God. And he went down. Then he went down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. This is where the power was, the word of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. There was that amazing power. And we see sovereign grace here. Naaman had come along with all the money to buy. He'd gone to the earthly king of Israel, who was an idolater, rather than to the king of kings. But yet, by God's grace, in all those steps, yet the Lord was merciful to show him the way. Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, and that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came. And he came then in pride, setting out his own way in which he expected the Lord to work. Yet the Lord mercifully granted him the grace of humility. Times devil contempt and say, "Well, I knew it myself in all the false religion I'd been in my younger days." And the devil would then say, "Well, how can the Lord have mercy on you? Look at the way you've come, trusting in your own righteousness, done this and that wrong in religion, in chapel, and amongst the Lord's people." But yeah, look here with Naaman. The Lord should have mercy upon him. Despite the fact he'd come in various manner that was amiss, bringing all the gold and the silver to pay, gone to the king of Israel first, rather than the king of kings, expected Elisha to do something dramatic in front of him, show of flesh, as it were. But yet, the Lord in his mercy, through the means of those servants, "Wash and be clean. Come unto Jordan." In our New Testament days, these things point to this. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Come unto me. Come unto the Lord Jesus Christ. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Just come unto him. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And that man went to his house justified rather than the other, the Pharisee, who was proud in his religion. There was no justification there. We're coming unto Jesus. And he went down. Yes, he had to go down. To come down humbly. The blessing is at the feet of Jesus. Not proudly looking down at Christ, not looking down and condemning the servants of God, but a coming down to the feet of Jesus. And he went down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. Indeed, we read later of Jesus coming to Jordan to be baptized. Not that the Lord Jesus Christ had any need of cleansing, for he is pure, holy, Lamb of God, but to fulfill all righteousness. The way the Lord Jesus Christ must go is the way, scripturally, that the Lord's people should go. Not that baptism is essential in one sense to salvation. The dying thief on the cross, he hadn't been baptized. But the Lord said, "Verily, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise." We know there are brethren who differ over these things, and we have no doubt concerning their salvation. But one thing is for sure, we read of in Peter about the answer of a good conscience. Going through the waters of baptism, it is essential for obedience. To give that honour to God, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ who came to Jordan. Well, may we be kept from pride in this matter. Some have said, I'll never be baptised. As it were, Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, are better than all the waters of Israel. But let us be given that spirit of humility to follow God's word in these things, to show forth in love, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. For he came, we read, he came to Jordan. Read that in Matthew's Gospel. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. But it's the place, what Jordan, Jesus went into the river of Jordan to be baptized. It's that place where Jesus, indeed in this time, and Naaman, and the Old Testament, those are looking forward. We, as it were, look back. The Naaman must come by the Lord Jesus Christ to that path, to the Good Shepherd, the Saviour. Then he went down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. His flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Let's make some observation, finally, concerning Gehazi. Well, we read in John's Gospel, again concerning that washing. In John chapter 13, when the Lord Jesus Christ washed his disciples' feet, they're showing that he was acting as a servant, showing how our Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself in the form of a servant. And he came a few days later to the cross to lay down his life. Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. There again, we see a spirit of repentance with Peter from that which he'd said. He said, Thou shalt never wash my feet. But there was a hearkening unto the Lord's word. Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed need not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. Well, I will not speculate as to the eternal end of Gehazi, but how indeed Gehazi betrayed the Lord in his actions. Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, one who was there with the man of God seeing the great works that was done, one above all who ought to have known the consequences of going against the God of Elisha, the blessings of following the Lord God, the evidence of the power of God. But yet, his thoughts were towards the money and the riches that Nahum and the Syrian had brought. Don't read of him rejoicing at the mighty power of God that was displayed, rejoicing that Naaman had been cleansed, rejoicing that Naaman had turned from idolatry to serve the living God. No, his thoughts were all that money that Gehazi, that Naaman had brought. And should he not have a part of it? And so he hatched those lies concerning those who supposedly come to Elisha. My master hath sent me, saying, Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give me, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garment. Naaman, in his simplicity in the matter, not knowing anything about it, but in his generosity and joy, he said, Well, be content, take two. So Gehazi took those things and bestowed them in the secret place. But Elisha revealed unto him what Gehazi had done. The leprosy thereof, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. He went out from his presence, a leper as white as snow. May the Lord give us that grace to heed such a warning, lest we should appear in the house of God, in the profession of God, and yet, like we read of Demas, who forsook the way, having loved this present world. Ahithophel had taken sweet counsel together, David and Ahithophel, but yet how Ahithophel counseled David a way that would have led to David's death. Counseled that vile defilement of David's wives. And our Lord Jesus Christ, he had Judas Iscariot. But let us look unto Jesus. For there is that cleansing in the precious blood, and the blood and the water that flowed from his riven side. And may the Lord keep us, and that we seek the riches in Christ Jesus, not the riches in this life. Indeed, if we do, if we seek after the filthy lucre, the ambition, all the ways of this world, whatever our appearance of religion should be, however close we are, in one sense, to the chapel, the preaching of the word, the pastors, the ministers, the great men of God, even in Elisha, it will avail nothing. Rather, the leprosy of Naaman shall cleave unto us. But how precious the word of God, how precious Christ, how precious he that washed us, cleansed us in his precious blood. Let us look unto Jesus. Amen.
collections last Lord's Day, which were for the Free Grace Evangelistic Association, amounted to the sum of £8,060, for which we are truly thankful. God willing, Dr. Sadler will address the Sunday School this afternoon. There will be a prayer meeting tomorrow with an address by Mr. Robert Field, followed by a church meeting. And Mr. Pocock is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Tim Parrish next Lord's Day, and who also hopes to address the Sunday School and administer the Lord's Supper. Let us close by singing part of hymn 708. We'll commence at verse 5. So souls that would to Jesus cleave and hear his secret call must every fair pretension leave and let the Lord be all. Hymn 708, commencing at verse 5.
Just express, on behalf of Free Grace Evangelistic Association, extreme gratitude for the generosity, the collection for the poor children in Eastern Congo. May the Lord favour you in giving. And now, O Lord, do grant us thy favour as we close this service. Do grant indeed we may come unto thee, leaving all our own schemes behind, but coming humbly at thy feet, O Lord Jesus. And now we do pray for thy help through the rest of this day, thy blessing indeed. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.